Welcome to the Neighborhood Cafe with your host, Amy Lively. Since there isn't a real cafe in Amy's neighborhood, she invited her neighbors over for coffee in her own living room, the best place for starting new friendships and nurturing old ones. Invite a girlfriend to listen along with you today as Amy shares a whole new way to love your neighbors at the Neighborhood Cafe.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Neighborhood Cafe. I'm Amy Lively, and the only thing I'd like to do more than this radio program is sit down with you face to face over a cup of coffee. Since we can't do that, please make yourself your favorite treat to enjoy for the next 15 minutes. So, my neighborhood had a community yard sale last weekend, and there were treasures on every block. It was really packed. I didn't buy a single thing, but I couldn't resist when I got home. I yelled into the house, "Hey, honey, help me come carry all this stuff in." And my husband yelled, "What stuff?" I said, "Oh, all these treasures I bought at the yard sales." You know, he does not appreciate a good yard sale like I do, but it does seem to be just an irresistible attraction to so many of my girlfriends. For me, the best thing about yard sales is meeting my neighbors. I always make a point to stop at their sales, even if I don't need, you know, baby clothes or another piece of bric-a-brac. It's people I'm looking for. I met my neighbor Connie at her yard sale last summer, and now she's been to my home and she comes to my Neighborhood Cafe Bible study, and we've become good friends. So making friends with my neighbors is a nice little perk of bargain shopping. And, you know, if I happen to find a new tablecloth or a little tchotchke while I'm there, that's just a bonus. I did not have a yard sale last weekend, but we did put the entire yard up for sale. We're actually selling our house right now. There's a home in Lancaster I've loved ever since we moved here in 1978 that has become available. And we just put our house up for sale to see if there are any takers. But, you know, I'm just holding that whole idea very loosely and trusting that God has already chosen where I will live and when I will live there. And you know what? That's straight from Acts 17:26, which says, God decided exactly when people should live, and He decided exactly where they should live. So I'm comfortable knowing that God has predetermined my home, and He has done that for one reason, and it's in the next verse in Acts 17:27. It says, God did that so that people would seek Him. He has placed us around people who will be seeking Him. When their lives get tough, when they don't have all the answers, when they might not even know how they're going to keep that house or their marriage or their families intact, He has placed us as His ambassadors in our neighborhoods. And that's an exciting responsibility, but it's a little bit nerve-wracking too. I know sometimes it makes me nervous. I recently wrote an article for my friend Lisa Turkhurst's website where I talked about some of the fears I had about inviting my neighbors into my home. I wrote, "My living room with half-chewed rawhides peeking out from behind the sofa cushions is not Pinteresting." I mean, seriously, did God know about Pinterest when He told us to love our neighbors? And I mean, didn't He know Martha Stewart would make us break out into a cold sweat at the thought of trying to make the perfect centerpiece or folding our napkins like swans? You know, so many women tell me that they feel the pressure to be impeccable before they can be sociable. And I know I have felt that too. You know, one woman said to me, "My messy house still is waiting for flooring and has so many spit-up splatters that I can't even keep up with them. And my laundry room is always overflowing onto the kitchen floor." Another woman said, "I keep waiting for my house to shape up before I invite my neighbors over. But now I see that God is my party planner and I have nothing to fear." And you know, it could be that we do need to do some organizing, cleaning, and sorting before we're ready to throw that front door wide open. Have you ever seen the show Hoarders on TV? It's horrifying, the conditions that some people live in. But you know what? That is a very real problem for more people than you might think. And even if your house couldn't be on Hoarders, I know there have been times when my house gets more cluttered than really is comfortable for people, even my own self. But you know, here's a tip. A day or two before you're having your neighbors over, take a look at the room that you'll be using at the same time of day as you're planning to get together. And then you can see where the sun shines on potential problem areas or how the lighting looks in that room. And then you can give one room a good cleaning at one time. One of the things I've always enjoyed about having people over into my house is that it's kind of an excuse to keep up with the housekeeping a little bit. Otherwise, I might not do it as much. But, you know, maybe you need to respect the wishes of someone in your family who doesn't feel the same as you do about having a house full of company. Or maybe you live with a chain smoker or a shedding dog. I mean, there are legitimate reasons why it's difficult, if not impossible, to invite people into our homes. Here's a woman who really touched my heart. She wrote to me and she said, "My husband and I built a beautiful new dream home. And when it was only 14 months old, it burned to the ground because of faulty electrical wiring in the air conditioner. It took over a year for the insurance company to settle the claim. And during that time, we were financially devastated. The Lord has provided, but we have not recovered from our loss. The house we are living in is a very small, old and extremely unfriendly rental house. I'm not complaining," she wrote, "and I'm so very thankful for what the Lord has brought us through. He has taught me so much in the past 2 years, but I feel held back by my house. There are so many things it needs, like new floors and bathroom renovations, but it's not mine, and I don't have the finances to update it and make it home." You know, as a wife and a woman and a mother, I know how important our homes are to us. You know, it might be old-fashioned, but I still think of myself as, you know, the keeper of my house, and I want it to be nice. When my husband and I were moving back to Lancaster, we had a really hard time finding a house. See, I was living in South Carolina with a toddler and a dog trying to sell our house there, while David was already living here and working in Ohio and trying to find us a new house. And he called me one day and he said, "Okay, I think I found a house." And I said, "Great, tell me about it." And he said, "It's really ugly." And I took a deep breath and I said, "Okay, tell me something good about it." And he said, "It's really big." And I thought, "Oh, great. What we have here is a whole lot of ugly." And you know what? It was. It was dreadfully ugly. It was dated and dingy and dark. And I could barely sign the contract through my tears. But, you know, over the years, we've really been able to transform it into a very lovely home physically. And we really enjoy it. But the real remodeling was in my own heart, spiritually, as God broke my heart for my neighbors. You know, I think the Lord cares more about what kind of neighbor I am than which house I live in. See, this is the difference between entertaining, which makes me look good, and hospitality, which makes my guest feel good. Because, ladies, we need to look at our homes with our hearts instead of our eyes. If you look around your neighborhood, chances are your neighbor's homes are probably very similar to yours in the size and the shape and the age and the condition and the value. The houses on our street probably look pretty much the same. So your neighbors, they won't be shocked at the condition of your home when they arrived, but they will be forever touched by the condition of their hearts when they leave. That is why we have our neighbors into our home. You know, my excuses about why I didn't want to invite my neighbors into my home were just really a thin disguise for my fears. I was afraid of sacrifice. I was afraid of being humiliated. I was afraid of being seen as different. I was afraid of being rejected. And, you know, God never did magically eliminate my excuses, but he did ease my fears. And he taught me about loving until it hurts in Ephesians 5:2, which says, "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us." God taught me how not to be prideful about my house, but to just humbly offer what he had given me. And he taught me not to worry about being weird, but to be more concerned with pleasing him than pleasing my girlfriends. But if you simply cannot invite your neighbors into your home at this time, for whatever reason you may have, what can you do? Well, you can do plenty. There are so many things we can do to create opportunities to meet our neighbors. Why don't you invite one person to go for coffee at one of the new coffee shops in town? Or maybe you can partner with another neighbor to host a get-together at her house and you can help her do it. Or you could coordinate your own neighborhood yard sale. Just pass out a flyer, suggest a date, put together an ad, or do signs together. You could plan a block party. I know many churches are encouraging the folks in our community to plan block parties as part of the art of neighboring. You could just compliment your neighbor's flowers or ask her who did her new roof. Just ask questions and listen really carefully as you talk. Listen for shared interests of things you can talk about further, or listen for a need that you can meet for her. Maybe you can invite your neighbors to just walk together at a neighborhood park once a week during the summertime. You know, in Acts chapter 16, there's a story about a woman named Lydia. I love this story. Lydia, she was just like us. She was a wife, she was a mother, she was a businesswoman, and she is described as a worshiper of God. And she was hanging out with her friends at the local park when the Lord really spoke to her heart. And she responded to him, and she became the first Christian on her street. In fact, she was the first Christian in her city, and this opened the doorway for the gospel to spread all across Europe. But the next thing you know, Lydia is inviting people into her home. And in Acts 16:15, she said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." You know, just like Lydia, offering ourselves to people should be a natural byproduct of our faith. See, loving our neighbors and hosting a neighborhood cafe isn't about our homes at all. It's not about the physical structure. It's not about the size of your living room or how clean your house is or if you can outshine the Joneses next door. And you know, in the neighborhood cafe, I give women plenty of tips on how to clean their house and bake cookies, but that is just not the point. Loving our neighbors is about accepting our homes as a God-given gift and accepting our neighbors as a God-given responsibility. And thankfully, He has also given us all that we need to do this through the power of His Holy Spirit. Radio friends, before we go, I'd like to invite you to grab a couple of your friends or your neighbors and join me on the Girlfriends Getaway Cruise. It's October 3rd through the 7th. We'll sail from Port Canaveral, Florida to Nassau, Bahamas and Calf Moon Cay. I have never been on a cruise and I am so excited to do this, and I would love to take some people from here with me. So we're going to sit back and enjoy some gourmet meals and walks on the beach. I'll be speaking on the Girlfriends Getaway Cruise along with some of my friends. Renee Swope of Proverbs 31 Ministries will be there. She's just written a fantastic book called A Confident Heart. If you would like to have confidence in God's love and design for you, this is a great book. Robin Jones Gunn, who wrote the Sister Chicks books, will be there. I mean, what a perfect person to be on a girls' getaway cruise. She writes all about girlfriends. And then also Jennifer Rothschild. She is a fantastic speaker and singer. You may have seen her at Women of Faith. She is blind, and she writes about and speaks about how that has just drawn her closer to the Lord. Her new book is called Missing Pieces. And also for the worship music, the Dove Award winner Sila will join us. Find details at my website. It's theneighborhoodcafe.net. I would love for you to drop by there. You'll find ways to contact me. My phone number is in there. And I would love to get in touch with you and pray with you about a whole new way that you can love your neighbors. We have been placed in our homes for a reason. God Himself was your realtor and chose where you should live and when you should live there. Whether you think your house is the next best thing or whether you wish it was a little bit better, it doesn't matter. This is not about the physical structure. This is about using the things God has given you for His glory and to reach His people. So, girlfriends, I will see you next week at the Neighborhood Cafe.
Thank you for listening today to The Neighborhood Cafe with Amy Lively. We hope you found this program to be an encouragement to open your hearts to the neighbors God has carefully placed around your home. Amy is an associate pastor at Life Church. Find them on the web at lifechurchohio.com or visit Life Church, 4 miles north of Lancaster on State Route 37. You can contact Amy and discover a whole new way to love your neighbors at www.theneighborhoodcafe.net.